their lives to count for something, to leave their mark when life is through. But vain pursuits will count for nothing. Time will erase whatever we do. I want my life to count for Jesus. For earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain.
Inside my heart there burned a question. What was I placed on earth here for? In truth it was to build a kingdom, not of my own, but of the Lord. I want my life to count for Jesus. For earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gains. In my life, Lord, being glorified, in my life, Lord, being glorified today. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gains.
Thank you for that song. I appreciate that. I love that song. I want my life to count for Jesus. I pray that be the testimony of every person here tonight as a Christian. When God saves you, He has a calling on your life. He does. That's for every single person that God created you. I think I turned that off. I'm sorry. That was my fault. And God created you for a purpose, and that was to serve Him. Not to serve yourself or this world, but to serve the Lord. We're going to be in Acts 13 tonight. Would you join with me and turn to the Scripture this evening? Acts chapter number 13. And we'll read the first three verses of this chapter. When you find that, would you stand to your feet as we honor the Word of God in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 1. Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Let's bow for a word of prayer. We ask, Lord, for your help tonight as we come before you at the very sacred time, anytime we open the Word of God. I pray that you'd speak to hearts. Lord, would you move us tonight? Lord, may we again dedicate this service and this time to you, to your work. Lord, would you please call? Maybe there's someone tonight that's not saved. Would you please draw them to you and they'd trust in Christ their Savior tonight? Maybe there's someone tonight that you're calling to serve, for them to serve their life for you in the ministry someday. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This ordination time, it's a special time. It's the setting apart of a man for the gospel ministry. You think of certain ceremonies, if you will, and it would be kind of similar to that in a way. And I think of it kind of similar to like a wedding, if you will. And it's in a way of a dedication from a man to a woman or a woman to a man, and you're dedicating yourself to that person for the rest of your life. And when God calls you to the ministry, it is for life. It's a special calling. It's a sacred calling. When God calls and uses a young man or a young lady and says, I want to use your life to be used for the gospel ministry, and that's what Brother Drew has answered that call in his life to serve the Lord for the rest of his life. He has shown the calling and testimony that is worthy of being ordained by Shasta Baptist Church. We met with the deacons here a couple months ago and brought before them, and they unanimously agreed that they would wholeheartedly approve to have Brother Drew ordained. Brother Pastor Johnson and Pastor Treber and Pastor Root, and thankful for you joining us tonight as well, Pastor Root, and myself met with Brother Drew a few weeks ago, and we interrogated him for hours, and there was sweating. We met with him and had a special time as pastors to approve a young man into the gospel ministry. He shared his salvation testimony, and he shared his call to the ministry. He has proven that he has given his life to serve the Lord. We're not laying hands suddenly on him and in a flippant way, but it's a very sacred time, just as a couple would not flippantly go into marriage, but it's something that is prayerfully dedicating your life to that person. And Brother Drew and also Miss Caitlin to the ministry. They have already been serving in the ministry now. They're veterans in the ministry here, but serving in many capacities over the last 6 years, but felt like the Lord had directed that this was the time for Brother Drew to be ordained. You see the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 about the requirements of a pastor. And really being ordained, you are that having the desire, the office of a bishop, and you see the requirements there in which Brother Drew has shown those character traits that the Lord has allowed for him to use. As you look in Acts chapter 13, I want to give you a challenge here through these verses as we lead to the end of this night, and we will take some time and literally pray over Brother Drew and ordain him into the gospel ministry. But I want to look at this biblical pattern in the Scripture here, of what this ordination pattern is in Scripture. And in Acts 13, in verse number 1, it says, there were in the church, there were at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, and makes a list there of the servants that are there, Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Menaean, and brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. These were men that had given their lives to serve the Lord. They were servants of the Lord. The first, I believe, requirement of someone that is going to be ordained to the gospel ministry is someone that is not saying, I'd like to serve the Lord, but someone that is already serving the Lord. They've already proven themselves that I want to give my life to God. I want to serve God with my life. And God set apart these that were already serving in the church. You see, first of all, they were in church. Isn't that a great place to be in church? Amen. I don't know where I'd be if I wasn't in church. I think my car would automatically drive to church if I didn't start coming here when the service started. But I love Shasta Baptist Church. There's no other place I'd rather be. No other place I desire to go for the rest of my life. I love Reading. I love Shasta Baptist Church and the people of Shasta Baptist Church. And then these men were in the church that was at Antioch. And the Bible says that they were prophets and teachers. That they were men that were taking the Word of God and preaching the gospel, preaching the Word of God. And it's a great and a high calling to be called by God, but it's also a humbling calling, isn't it? I remember those times if I were to give my testimony for a bit, but I remember God calling me to the ministry, and I said, God, I can do anything but preach. And anyone I believe that's called to the ministry has that same testimony. If you think, God, you got a big catch because you got me, I'm so qualified, God doesn't need that. But God is looking for people, again, that are base, those that are humble, the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. The Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching. Why? Because God would choose to use a sinner. He would choose to use a man that is not perfect to preach a perfect Bible about a perfect God and a perfect way to heaven. They were prophets and teachers. And I remember saying, God, I can do anything but preach. I'll do anything but. And you know, whenever you say, God, I'll do anything but, that's exactly what God wants for you to do. And you say, God, I'll do anything. I'm thankful that I wasn't called 2 weeks later to teach, to preach afterwards. But I remember as a young person, we'd have a youth service, and they'd say, okay, you know, all the teens are going to run this service. And I don't know if that's a great idea or a bad idea. We've done that. That's been wonderful. But they wouldn't ask us what we were doing. They'd say, we all wanted the sound booth. That was our number one job that we wanted. But he'd say, your job to preach. And I remember, you remember that first message you prepared, I'm sure, Brother Jude. Do you remember what the first message was? Ephesians 6. Was the armor of God? Amen. There you go. I had the wrong passage there, but amen. But man, you get so nervous, you get behind the pulpit or the podium and you preach the word of God and you think, I'm doing what God has called for me to do. What a blessing that is. And they were servants of the Lord. The Bible says this in verse number 2, that as they ministered to the Lord. See, a minister is a servant. A servant, if you're being called to the ministry and God wants to use your life, and I pray that young people, that you would desire that God would call you. Don't run away from God. I pray that we'd have young people volunteering, say, I'd like to volunteer to serve the Lord. God, here am I, send me. It's the greatest call in all the world, and they were ministers. They said, I want to serve the Lord. I believe Brother Drew has shown that of being a servant of the Lord, a servant. The Bible says they ministered to the Lord and they fasted. They fasted. I believe it'd be shown that they prayed as well, that they were given to the Word of God, they were given to service, and they were given to fasting and prayer. Not handling the Word of God deceitfully or flippantly, but understanding that serving God is a high calling. When you get a chance to serve the Lord, it's a special calling that God has for you in your life. As the Lord has brought Brother Drew, Miss Caitlin here, Miss Caitlin back, and Brother Drew here to Shasta Baptist Church. And Brother Drew came just a month, I believe, before Pastor Johnson had retired from pastoring. And Pastor Johnson and I had talked and prayed and believed that God had directed them to come back. They said no once, and we kept asking until they finally said yes. And no, but the Lord brought them here. And I told Brother Drew, I said, the Lord has a lot for you to do here. I'm pretty much going to hand over a lot of things that the Lord allowed for me to do and to pass off to you, and I need you. And the Lord has used him as our youth pastor and serving our young people and our families and organizing events and arranging preachers and preaching to our teens and the juvenile hall and the rescue mission and any place that you could find helping in the bus ministry and special music. I believe that shows that Brother Drew and Miss Caitlin are servants. They're servants. As a pastor, I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve you. As our staff, we're here to serve you, to serve the Lord first of all, but then to serve you. And they've shown that they're servants of the Lord. Brother Drew has shown faithfulness in the ministry. He's shown integrity in the ministry, having wisdom and handling the Word of God and situations and people and caring for others, being a hard worker and a great preacher of the Word of God. Now, we're not ordaining Miss Caitlin tonight, but Miss Caitlin, you understand, you know, when your husband's in the ministry, you're being called into the ministry with him. They've been serving already. It's not like they haven't served and they're just beginning. But a preacher's wife, whether it be a pastor, assistant pastor in some way, the preacher's wife is just a part of the ministry as the preacher is. You know, we're only as good as the wife that's behind us. And if we would tell the honest truth that we are nothing without the Lord, first of all, but then secondly, we're nothing without the wife that God has put on our side to do the work of the Lord. And Miss Brock has been a faithful servant in the church and teaching in our school and working with our teens and raising their beautiful daughters. And I believe that God has called Brother Drew to be ordained because he's been a servant of the Lord. Number 2, this passage here, I believe, shows in verse number 2 that not only does God call people that are serving the Lord, but that God does the calling. They were called by the Lord. In verse number 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. See, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And Brother Drew would say that God called his life. It wasn't a calling for mom and dad, but I'm thankful for a faithful mom and dad that have raised you to love and to know the Lord. and for the Brocks and for the Wheatons, raising Miss Caitlin to serve and to know the Lord. But the calling of God is not the calling for mom and dad. It's not the calling of a youth pastor or a teacher. The calling comes from God to the heart of a young person or an adult, anyone that says, I want you to serve me for the rest of your life. What a great calling that is. Again, as I mentioned before, the calling of God is not something to run away from, but it's an honor. It's an honor to say that God said, I want to use your life. Man, how unworthy do you feel when God said, I want to use you, and you think, God, you've got to find something better than me because I don't have a whole lot to offer. But I'm thankful that the Lord has called his life. He shared with us his testimony, how God worked in his life. I want you to understand this, church, that God's work is the greatest work. Man, God's work is the greatest work. It's not like you lower yourself to serve the Lord, to serve at a church. Don't ever look at someone that serves the Lord as, oh, poor them. No, it's the greatest calling in all the world to serve the Lord. Charles Spurgeon once said, if God has called you to preach, don't stoop to be the president. I'm thankful for the president and for leaders in other areas, but the greatest calling and the greatest work you can do is to tell people about Jesus Christ and to preach and to proclaim the Word of God. That's the greatest calling in all the world. Never think of it as a low thing to take the Word of God and to teach a young person, a teenager, an adult. But it's a high calling of God that the Holy Ghost calls your life. Maybe there's a young person, an adult in this room that God is calling your life. Don't fight that call. And you fight it. You're going to be a miserable person. But you surrender and volunteer and say, God, here am I. Would you send me? Say, God, I don't know where you're going to take me. I don't know where the journey's going to go. But Lord, you're in charge. And my life, Lord, is yours to control. You see, first of all, that they were servants of the Lord. Number two, that they were called by the Lord. Number three, they were ordained by the church. Look at verse number three. And the Bible says, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. I told you a few times and I'll say again, we're not sending the Brocks away. They're not allowed to leave, all right? You're stuck here. It was a lifelong contract. But it's one of the purposes of a local New Testament church is to train men and women for the ministry and to send them out into the gospel ministry. Now, I'd love it if we could take all the workers and keep them here. But we get to ordain one to stay here tonight, and we get to send one out tonight. What a privilege that is as a church. I mean, you know, God is good, isn't he? And serving God is the greatest. At a later date, as Brother Isaiah is getting closer to sending out, we'll plan a time for ordaining him as well. But the purpose of the church is to send out laborers into the field to serve the Lord. The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We need more laborers in the work of the Lord. We need more laborers. And as a church, in a moment, I'll call the pastors that are here and our deacons to come up, and we'll literally lay hands on and ordain and pray for Brother Drew Brock into the gospel ministry. We need more. We need more sent into the ministry because we're in a lost and a dying world. It's a special task to be set apart for the work of the Lord, to serve Him with your life in the gospel ministry. I'm thankful for doctors and electricians and mechanics. I'm thankful for the laborers that help the workforce to move on. I'm thankful for those. But I'm thankful that God called me to be a preacher. I'm thankful that God called me to be in the ministry. It's the greatest work in all the world, and don't let anyone tell you anything otherwise. God's work is the greatest work, and to be set apart for God is a high calling, and to get to serve God for the rest of your life. You know that being a Christian is not a part-time duty, it's a full-time duty. Whether or not you are a staff member or you're a regular worker, when you're a Christian, you're a full-time worker. Full-time Christian. There's no such thing as a part-time Christian. If you're saved, you're saved eternally. You're a full-time Christian. All the time. And we all should be servants of the Lord, but there's some that God would set apart then or would answer the call to serving the Lord full time in the gospel ministry. And then number four, and lastly this evening, you'll see in verse number three, it says, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Paul and Barnabas are about to enter their first missionary journey, and they're taking the gospel out to the Gentile people, to the rest of the known world. The gospel had been given to the Jews, and you see through the book of Acts that the gospel ministry, the gospel is being spread about through the rest of the known world. And Paul and Barnabas were setting sail, literally, to travel the world, to start churches, to tell people about Jesus Christ, to tell people that God loves them and that Jesus died for them and wants them to have a home in heaven. And they would go and they'd see souls saved, and they'd start a church, and they'd train a preacher, and they'd go to the next place and do the same. They were sent out to the gospel ministry. What an important job. I was talking to someone recently. I said, what an important need it is to have a gospel-preaching church. Bible-believing, independent, King James-only church in every single city around the world. Everyone needs a church. Everyone needs a church to go to. They need someone to love them and to share the Word of God with them and to train and to help them to know the Lord. Brother Drew, tonight again, we are officially ordaining and sending him out into the gospel ministry. This is an important time as a church. Church family, this is something collectively we have a part in and investing in their lives as they invest in your life. It's important, Shasta Baptist Church, that we are, again, as I preached this morning, we are training the next generation, because there's another generation that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. It's important for the church that we would send some out. Brother Drew and Brother Isaiah and others coming behind them. I'm looking forward to in the next few years to see what God does with the young people that are already out serving the Lord and with those that are coming behind them. I believe we have a whole host. I believe it with all my heart. We have a whole host of young people that are getting ready to go out and to turn the world upside down for the cause of Christ. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to many more nights like this, Shasta Baptist Church, that we can be a part of praying and sending others out into the ministry. It's important for the church, but it's important for the need of the world. Over 8 billion people in this world. Over 90,000 people in Redding, California. People need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about Jesus. How will they hear, the Bible says, without a preacher? Anyone can be a preacher. It's not just a pastor. Anyone that takes the Word of God and gives the gospel out, the good news of Jesus Christ. But it's important to ordain and send out because there's a great need in this world today. We don't need any more casual Christianity today. We need Christians that are sold out and purposed and set apart for the cause of Christ to tell people about Jesus Christ. This is a great need in this world today. It's important for the church to have this ordination tonight. It's a great need. It's important for the need of the world. But it's important for your life, Brother Drew and Miss Caitlin. It's important for you. I believe, I remember that night that I was ordained, and that's a special night I'll never forget. I pray that you look back on this night as a special time, again, maybe a rededication, if you will, of saying, God, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. You know, when you serve the Lord as a Christian, you know this, there's bumps along the way. Man, there's trials and difficulties along the way, but God is faithful, isn't He? Man, God is faithful. Never get your eyes off of Jesus. Never get your eyes off the Lord. This is an important night for the Brocks as well. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:12, it says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And I'm thankful that God is the one that does the calling and the putting into the ministry, that God, it's God's work that we get to be a part of. Amen. This is God's church, God's Word, God does the saving, but we get to be a part of it. Isn't that great that we're co-laborers together to serve the Lord? And God puts people in place to fill spots, to get to serve the Lord. There's no more important or less important person in the work of the Lord. Everyone's important in the work of the Lord. Amen? And that's an important thing, but that God would count you faithful, putting you into the ministry. What a blessed and a wonderful testimony to have.